Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. And the play-by-play call of the day. I actually was listening to this last night after the Spikes game. I was driving home, and this is the only play of the game I heard. Andy Freed on the Tampa Bay Rays radio network.
Now on 1-1. Swinging a slow grounder. Right side, in front of it, Shaw. Leaves it, and it's dropped by Hembree. Rolls away, nearly heading for home. Here comes the throw. Leon with a tag. Out at the plate. He is out of the plate.
He dropped the ball.
The ball game is over. The Rays have walked off.
Well, yeah, that was exciting. Yeah, I'm a Red Sox fan.
Sorry.
There are rules here. No, I'm just kidding. It really was the bizarre play of the night. And that's when you, and I was listening to them a little bit in the post game. They said they really had not seen a play like that. Wow. All right. 1-800-795-9565. Several things to get into. Obviously, Trace McSorley as the quarterback. And Trace, in the preseason, when the preseason began, somebody said, why don't you name the starter now? And there's no need to name the starter at that point. And because you want to see if in a four-month span through summer workouts, weight room, things like that, game slows down for somebody, can one guy close the gap in the other guy? So you want to find out over a two-week span if a guy can close the gap. Well, what happened in the 2 weeks, the 2.5 weeks, is one got a little better and kept getting better in Trace. Tommy Stevens got better and closed the gap. But in the last week, Trace pushed it out a little further. I gave Trace a lot of credit that he went out there and and just got the job done. So he wins the job, but the quarterback takes hits in this system. And because the quarterback does take hits in the system, because they're expected to carry the ball at times, for obvious reasons. I mean, people saw the blue-white game, so you see what we're talking about. And there's a lot of Bucknell fans that have seen Fordham play, and you know what I'm talking about. You have to have two guys ready for this thing. Now, you'd like to go through the whole season and have one guy. Something that's very important, though, that he stressed yesterday, he is a one-quarterback guy. He is not a two-quarterback guy. He's a one-quarterback guy. And he's proven that now with Hackenberg, you notice over and over, he kept playing and playing and playing him. And then the deal with the freshman, the plus to me is that the program is at a point where only three of them are needed at this point where they think they can improve the team. Doesn't mean as the season goes, others don't make it. But they feel McGovern can help them and improve the team. They feel Gilligan can help them and improve the team. They feel Sanders can help them and improve the team. And because of the depth that they have at other spots, they have veterans that already capably fill the bill on the first and second teams. Well, I think I find that to be an advancement for the program and tells you they're in a different state now than they've been the last 2 years. Because there have been upwards of 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 freshmen that have played. As the season goes, if obviously injuries happen, which they will, unfortunately, that's the one area that just kind of falls by the wayside. You know, you do expect injuries. Let's face it, we watched Saquon Barkley last preseason, and Jack and I were blown away watching him run. You watched him early in the season, we were blown away by watching him run, then he got hurt and he had to miss a couple of games. And then he finally got back in the mix, and when he did, he was spectacular again. But he still had to miss a couple of games. So you expect along the way that the normal bumps, bruises, and dings are going to happen along the way. Hopefully nothing season-ending, but it's just the nature of the games, the nature of football. You're going to get bumped up, and everybody's going to really get sore as time goes. So that's where, you know, the approach the freshman has to take. But there's also something else I want to point out. Okay? It's not as if he sat there and he looked at the recruiting class and said, these are the three guys that are green and one in yellow. It's the freshman he looked at and said, these are the greens, and Michael Mennett is the yellow. And Mennett is a really good athlete. Michael Mennett not only is physical, but Michael Mennett can run. He is quick. You watch him get off the ball, he is quick. You watch how physical he is at the point of attack, he is physical. But then you look at him in the open field, he can move. I'm really impressed by Michael Mennett. I think, obviously, idealistically, if they can redshirt him, idealistically, they would love to do that. So he is in that category. Now, remember last year, Juwan Johnson and Irvin Charles were both put into the green category, and neither one of them ended up playing as the season went. But I don't think that's going to be the... Now, the fact there's only three of them named, McGovern, Gilligan, and Miles Sanders... You can rest assured all of them are out there in one form or another. And again, to me, the big plus is that in a very talented, very athletic recruiting class, only four got through to help the veteran group, and only three got green light status to join the veteran group. That tells you about the progress in the program because the recruiting class is very good. And that's what I see as the positive right off the top of that. And obviously, you know, I mean, let's face it, I think you guys know none of it surprises me. I know Jack and I had talked about a week ago, and that's the way the two of us thought it would go. Those are the four guys that we targeted. There was no more than those four guys that we targeted. And we thought that that would be the story moving forward. But you look at other guys, Cam Brown, Shane Simmons, Shaka Tony, Danny Dalton, Will Fries, Alex Gellerstedt, they've got some really talented young players. Really talented. Usually you'll see programs that are in deep transition, and they've got to play 10 to 15 of those guys. And that's because you have to. Well, the fact that they can look at a recruiting class and say, you know what, there's only three of them we feel we have to play, and maybe... You know, and maybe on the fence with a fourth. That, I think, is an indicator of what they see so far. You know, man, veteran. Nelson, veteran. Dowry, veteran. Gaia, veteran. Redshirt freshman in Bates, but Bates pretty good. And he's still got Paris Palmer. Still have Wendy Laurent. Still have Noah Bay. And then you know, you look at Pankhurst and Holland behind, obviously, Gesicki. Gesicki has had, for the most part, a really good preseason. You know, we've talked about the wideout depth. We've talked about the running back depth. We've talked about the defensive line depth. You know, you got Sickle, Schwann, Torrance Brown. Ryan Buchholz is a redshirt freshman, Bears watching. Sharif Miller had a good preseason. And then you go up front with Kevin Givens. Antoine White had a really good preseason. Parker Cothran's been very good. Parker Cothran's become a much better practice player. And that's a plus. Robert Windsor's another guy, too. Dick in Milton. Hi, Dick. How you doing?
I'm good, Steve. Hey, I was questioning, have you mentioned much about Nakeem Wartman-White? How is he recovered totally from his injury?
He's I would say he's probably in the 90 to 95% range, Dick.
Okay.
He's moving well. He is, 11 and a half months removed from that injury. But he's moving well. I think playing the spot that he's playing helps him. He's a really smart player. One of the areas that he brings to the table is he has the ability to get the team into the right defense. Okay. He's going to be a big plus to Jason Kabinda as they work together there. His instincts are really good. I think his speed is good, and I think he's ready to go. I think, and it also helps that Jay Cooper has really improved too. So if they ever feel any moment where they got to give Naeem a break, especially early in the season, they got a guy like Cooper is right there.
I mean, I know he was pretty much of a force until he got his injury.
Yeah, he was, and in a lot of ways. And I think it's a really good point. But I think that, when you're coming back, one thing that when you suffer the injury that he had, obviously he worked very hard to get back to this point. But you also had to get used to playing with a knee brace on, and he does have to play with one. And it takes a little bit sometimes to get used to that, and he's now used to doing that, and you can see the freedom of movement for him has really returned for him, and that's a big plus.
Was he calling the defensive signals when he went out?
Last year he was.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, in the Temple game, he was calling everything, and then when he left the game, now they had to really scramble a bit to do some things in the field, but Wartman was the one calling everything defensively early in that game.
Well, I just had a question about him. The other thing is, I'm not sure if you can work it in sometime. Maybe you could go over since you're talking football, maybe you could go over a little bit of the NFL Penn State players and who's doing well and what you expect from some of them this year. If you've even kept up on it, I'm sure you have.
Austin Johnson has done very well at Tennessee.
Okay.
And I did talk with Austin at one point, and he said, "It is hot down here." Zettel's off to a good start with Detroit. Hackenberg is struggling a bit with the Jets. It has to do with the footwork more than anything else, which we've talked about. And they've even broached the subject in the New York Daily News about the possibility at some point of putting Hackenberg on injured reserve. You know, one of those mysterious hangnail deals. And Nassib has had an excellent preseason for the Browns. I mean, excellent. They love him in Cleveland, and he has been tearing it up.
Yeah, he's not going to sneak up on anybody anymore.
No, he's done sneaking up on everybody. The days of Carl Nassib flying under everybody's radar ended last year.
Yes, I'm sure of that. Okay, that's what I was curious about, was that a little bit, and more of White. I just really was kind of concerned about coming back from that injury. And I mean, you see him practice and play, so
I think he's moving well, and I think it just took him maybe about a week to really get used to wearing that brace and running around with that thing. And I think they've done a really good job of making sure that he is as ready as possible for everything. And he's taken, geez, Dick, I think he's taken almost every rep along the way. He has not skipped out on much of anything during the course of the preseason. So that tells me a lot that because you do worry at this point, after sitting out last year doing all the rehab, will there be any fatigue that sets in? That hasn't happened with him. That's been good.
And he's not shown any tendency to be a little bit gun shy or anything like that anymore.
No gun shy. That hasn't happened at all. He sticks his nose into everything. Well, and the only thing I was wondering about is, like, you know, what would his lateral movement be like and so forth? Would he have some explosiveness? And he seems to have that.
Well, there's nothing good about an injury like that to anybody, especially a starter, but if nothing else, it gave some other younger kids a chance to actually play a lot of football.
It did. It gave Bowen a chance to play, and it really gave Cooper a chance to play. Bowen's better than he was last year, and Cooper really is. Cooper's going to see the field, Dick. I mean, Cooper is going to be one of those guys that makes it into the rotation, and I like the way Jake is playing. Jake knows how to play, and that's a big, I think when I watch him, I see a guy that plays with a lot of instincts out there to go with his athletic ability.
Well, thanks. I'm hoping for big things this year. We'll see what happens down the road, hopefully.
Yeah, same thing. Same here, Dick. We'll see.
Thanks, Steve.
800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Good questions today. Doug had really good questions. Dick had really good questions. We'll take your questions as well at 1-800-795-9565. Hope you enjoyed our high school football preview from 3:35 to 4. By the way, you will have some interesting comments tomorrow from Cale Sanderson on the Olympic wrestling tournament. Not exactly enamored with the officiating. It was really... I admit I got it today, so we're going to air it tomorrow. But it was enlightening. How about that? Enlightening. It was... And blunt. I think blunt's a good word.
Mm-hmm. Right to the point.
Oh, it was right to the point.
He's always right to the point.
Let me put it to you this way. Cale left no gray area. No gray area. So. Very interesting.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were expecting Cale right off to the side of the mat when Frankie was wrestling over the weekend. We saw Cody, but...
No, yeah. Cale was in the seats.
Yeah.
And he was saying today, he says, for some reason, he says, I was like, with all these political dignitaries and so forth, he said, we had great seats. he said, I don't yell out anything. I just cheer and whatever. He says, because Cody Sanderson was down there and he was the one that was working with Molinaro. Molinaro's a great story. Because remember, Molinaro was drawing a paycheck as an assistant coach in the Big Ten. And he really wanted to follow this dream. So he decided to forego the job as an assistant coach to lock in and get ready. Well, in terms of locking in and getting ready, he then, of course, became a volunteer assistant coach for Cale. Well, now he's really going to lock in and keep getting ready with Tokyo on his mind for 2020, the World Championships in between, but also Tokyo 2020. So he won't be a volunteer assistant coach for Penn State this year. It'll be Jake Varner is going to be the volunteer assistant coach for Penn State this year in wrestling. And Jake has a rather impressive resume. I guess we gave you a little news there. There you go. So, yeah. So, Frank's going to continue to work here, in the wrestling room here. But he did so well at the Olympics. And freestyle wrestling is an older man's game. And when I mean older man's game, if you're 32 and under, the freestyle wrestling is two things. A, it's an older man's game. That's why you see, it's hard for a... usually hard for a college athlete to come out and win right away. That's why when you look at the Cale Sandersons of the world who go to Athens and win, and that's because they're just a cut above and an absolute elite. The other thing is, this is also a Russian game. And when I mean Russian game, I mean all the Soviet satellites as well as Russia. And I don't care if it's Uzbekistan or Georgia or whatever. Between Russia and maybe even Iran, that is where, and mostly Russia, by the way. And when I mean Russia, again, I mean the Soviet satellites that go with it. The old Soviet satellites. Freestyle wrestling, they are the dominant power in it. So that's where the center of it happens to be. And also, it's usually an older guy's game. So Molinaro, if he can gut it out the next 4 years, he'll take one more shot at it in Tokyo. That's what he's hoping for. And he won't be the volunteer assistant coach this year. Jake Varner will be the volunteer assistant coach for Penn State Wrestling this year. Final half hour brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street at Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. On News Radio 1070, WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I happen to know an expert on clean coal.
You sure do.
And guess what? I don't think anybody would want to argue against him. So... he and I have talked about it from time to time. I'll leave it at that. That's not obviously my place to talk about it on this show. That's their place to talk about it on their show. Time now for the sports bozo of the day. And, of course, we always have many, many candidates in the Sports Bozo of the Day category. And you know, you sit there and you look at the PED witch hunt by the NFL. And again, I don't like the look. I understand that, like, somebody makes a report, you want to find out what the deal is, but I'm sorry, I don't. This one I don't see. They test for it, you move on. James Harrison's been tested 4 times this year. Which one did he test positive for? But we've talked about that ad nauseum. People are sitting at home saying, talks about everything ad nauseum. What's the standard there? The opener, of course, a week from Saturday. Let's see. What do we have on the Little League World Series board today? Korea leads Mexico 7-0 top of the fourth. Tennessee plays Kentucky tonight. Majors. We already have a final today, my man. We've got Detroit winning over Minnesota 8-5. And Tampa Bay beat the Red Sox today 2-1. So those are finals already. This being a Thursday, there's a few more afternoon games because it is, quote, getaway day. And because it's getaway day, you do have a tendency to have a few more afternoon games being played in the majors.
Yeah, Phillies with a travel day today. They'll crank up a series in New York against the Mets tomorrow night.
And something the Mets need. No offense to the Phillies, but, I mean, the Mets need this. Everything else is under the lights. Baltimore and Washington. Did you see the Katie Ledecky moment with Bryce Harper last night?
Put Bryce to work. I thought that was great.
Walks out there to throw the ceremonial first pitch with all 5 of her medals. The 4 golds. And the silver. And he she had to take the medals off, and so she put two on one of his arms and three on the other arm, and he's just standing there just with medals dangling from his arms as she then throws a strike, and she did throw a strike on the ceremonial opening pitch. Pretty impressive. And he's out there. He's an ornament.
And she's just slowly taking them off one at a time. Yeah. That was great.
Good move by her. Entertaining. Understands the most. She's 19 years old. And she already knows how to play to the crowd and have fun with it. That's good. Good for her. The Raiders, meanwhile, have trademarked Las Vegas Raiders. That doesn't mean anything necessarily. They're just protecting themselves as time goes. Remember that the Chargers have trademarked Los Angeles Chargers, even though they have a vote coming up. And by the way, they need 60% to pass this thing. This is not a must have 50.1% to win proposition. This is actually a proposition in San Diego where you have to have 60% to pass it. So they have some hurdles to clear for a new stadium in San Diego. But they, a year ago, if you recall, a year ago, I think it was in January. It was in January, they did trademark logos and the name Los Angeles Chargers. Well, the Raiders have now done the same thing with Las Vegas. They have trademarked the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, they don't have to trademark logos because the Raiders have never changed their logo. And Senator Harry Reid says that he would throw his support behind what will end up being a potential $2 billion stadium that would have a retractable roof on it. And so that was part of the big story today with them and the big story with the NFL.
Wonder if they already went to bookmark or secure LasVegasRaiders.com on top of the trademark.
Well, there were several things that they did do. There's like three different things. That wasn't mentioned, but the other two weren't mentioned either. Ryan Lochte will be summoned to appear at a hearing in front of Brazil's Justice Department in Rio de Janeiro concerning the incident at the Olympics. Detective Clemente Broan, who is responsible for the investigation, said Lochte will not be permitted to give his testimony in the United States. We depend on this measure of cooperation, but he has to come to Brazil and testify in court. However, if Lochte does not appear at the hearing, the criminal case will continue without his testimony. What's interesting, though, about the Lochte thing, keep in mind, after the allegation came out, they then talked to him, but he never filed a police report, and they keep saying he filed a false police report. Well, if you don't file a police report, you know, you go in on your own, you file one? Oh, well, doesn't matter. It's a different country, different deal.
Ryan Lochte, how about this? You sitting down? Ryan Lochte is going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Of course he will be.
Season 23 starting September 12th. They usually practice 2 or 3 weeks before the season premiere, so.
Okay. They say they vandalized the bathroom after a night of partying. Armed guards confronted the swimmers and asked them to pay for the damage. But now you're getting witnesses, and USA Today found witnesses said that Lochte took some framed whatever off the outside wall, that it was hanging by a thread.
Some kind of advertising poster or something.
Yeah. And they say that was it, that USA Today sent someone into the bathroom. There was no damage to the door, no damage inside to the bathroom. And they say Lochte can be sued for damage to property. The owner of the gas station where the incident occurred is expected to provide police with a statement next week. So, it just continues. But he'll be on Dancing with the Stars, and they'll all go from there.
Aaron Andrews can ask him the hard-hitting questions right off the side of the floor.
She does what she has to do.
Yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, Dancing with the Stars is not meant to be 60 minutes.
No.
And
but they do have 2 hours to fill.
They do have 2 hours to fill. And Tom Bergeron, who I believe is the host, right?
Yes.
And Aaron Andrews on there. And look, they do what they're supposed to. You make a move, you ask a few questions, keep it lighthearted, make it entertaining, you go on. I expect it to be 60 minutes. So you're not going to get any criticism from me. I've never done something like that, so I don't even know if I could do it. So, all power to him. Bergeron also hosts America's Best Videos or whatever it is.
He used to. It's now Alfonso Ribeiro now hosts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, when he was hosting it.
But he did host it for a long time, like close to a decade. Yeah.
They had five finalists for it a year ago. It's a year ago. They had five finalists for Video of the Year, right? One of them was my cousin Deb.
Nice.
Yeah. From Bill Recker. Bill Recker.
Didn't win the whole thing?
No, did not. But got on TV.
15 minutes of fame?
She was terrific, and I was proud of her.
What was the great video?
Video was her grandchild throwing up on her. had not met her grandchild, so I don't know. Oh, well. Let's see. Las Vegas Raiders trademarked. A search of the office's website reveals three trademark applications filed for use of the name Las Vegas Raiders by the Oakland Raiders Limited Partnership. The club filed for trademarks for education and entertainment services, clothing, footwear, and headwear, and an assortment of other memorabilia production, football helmets, clocks, watches, trading cards, and so forth. Now, that doesn't mean they're moving there. Just means that they're covering their bases in case they do move there. These trademarks were filed on the intent to use basis, which basically means what it says. They're not using them yet, but intend to use them. They also, interestingly, a bunch of individuals who filed trademarks for various versions of the Raiders name several months ago. Someone evidently has San Antonio Raiders, and someone else evidently has Southern California Raiders. There's also an application for San Diego Raiders and another for the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, why would you go out? I mean, seriously. Why would you go out and you as a person trademark San Antonio Raiders? Why would you do that? I mean, obviously, you're trying to make a fast buck here, right? So you're going to take a gamble, and you're going to make them pay you money for it and the whole deal. But for goodness sakes, you have nothing to do with the Raiders. It just seems like you're trying to be smart, trying to stay ahead of the game. I got that. But it also seems like a little sleazy to me to do that. Now, I was going to go out, and I was going to trademark Danville Raiders, but I just don't see them moving there. I don't see a dome stadium in Danville anytime soon. Suit won't allow it. Government people. Oh, my goodness. Now, the suit, by the way, is taking 1 year off from doing Shikellamy games. The award-winning Shikellamy football broadcast that he has been absolutely critical in for a couple of decades now. His son is a senior in high school. His son is playing this year. He wants to live through and develop the memories that will last him a lifetime of his son's senior season. Can anybody out there blame him? Nobody can. And I think that, I think all of us support, every one of us supports it.
Oh, we sure do. I see. I said, how weird is it going to feel tomorrow night at 7 o'clock? I'll be here in studio over on Eagle 107 with the Eagles, with Pat Ryan and Zach tomorrow night with the Seals Grove Seals broadcast. I'll be tempted to text them, hey, how you holding up?
Now, if Mike does a really awesome job, there may have to be some decisions. So,
like you said, fan survey.
So at the end of the year, we're going to do a fan vote. No, of course not. Because Mike's the first one to tell you that.
It's just a year.
Well, you know what? We're lucky we have a guy like Mike that we can dip into the bullpen and get, and is going to come out and do a quality job, do a great job. And then Kevin will jump right back into it next year and do the usual outstanding job he always does.
Of course, he and Chief will be doing hoops in September, in December. He'll be back.
Does Mike do basketball? No. Just asking. I mean, we'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Sean, I guess in the commercial break, was trademarking Selins Grove Raiders. I just don't see it happening, Sean. I think it's a waste of money. But that's just me.
We'll keep trying.
Tomorrow, Erica Dombach will join us on the show. Also, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report tomorrow. Erica Dombach, the head coach of the defending national champion Penn State women's soccer team. And we're going to do an Olympic segment tomorrow on Penn State at the Olympics, including some very pointed comments from Cale Sanderson. Pointed comments. And I think that that's something that we'll have now. On Monday, Jack Ham's going to join us. And Otto Bolton's going to join us next Wednesday. Does that sound right?
Absolutely. It'll be 4:35 next Wednesday for the track and field analyst from NBC Sports.
So.
And you know me, working on half a dozen others we got in the hopper over the next few weeks. We'll hit one of them.
Drew says that, I guess when it comes to the suit, there absolutely needs to be some decisions made. I'm telling you, a fan vote.
We have the power to set that up on a website. We do.
Oh, I would never do that to these guys. But it sure is good for just a couple of one-liner laughs on a talk show. What the heck? But Mike will do a great job. And it's great to have that kind of depth across. Well, you know, Pat does a great job on Selins Grove. Steve Williams does a great job on Milton. I mean, all the way across the board. We're fortunate. When you have to have that kind of commitment that we do on a Friday night here, you have to have a pool with some depth in it that you can turn to that is going to deliver quality broadcasts. Because each one is a separate priority unto itself. You know, I mean, the Milton fans don't care how good the Selins Grove broadcast is. The Selins Grove fans probably don't care how good the Milton broadcast is. But the Milton fans care how good the Milton broadcast is on WMLP. The Selins Grove fans care how good the broadcast is on Eagle 107. The Lewisburg fans care about the quality of the broadcast on 100.9 The Valley. And the Chickalamy fans care deeply about the quality of the broadcast in WKOK. And that's where we've been fortunate. We have the pool's deep.
And we have revamped the high school football scoreboard page. So while tomorrow night you're bopping from game to game, you can go to WKOK.com and we'll keep that updated all night long tomorrow night.
I use that page all the time.
And the great thing is with the scoreboard page, we have access and links to all the streams of all the stations where we have the high school football on. So you can listen for a while and take your pick which game you want to watch, from your mobile, listen to what you want from your mobile device.
I mean, I don't care whether I'm here. I'm constantly checking that page on a Friday night, or I'll go on the road. And, Sean, I'm on the road, and I'm checking that page constantly. I want to see how our local teams did, the ones that we're broadcasting for. So I'm constantly checking that out to see, and I know a lot of people around the area the same way, and as you mentioned, you can log in and listen to them as well. And, of course, you know, we have the Sunbury Broadcasting app. I mean, there's a lot of things that areas that we hit you with along the way that make your high school experience even better. Not everybody can make every game, but it's going to be a beautiful night tomorrow night. I'm glad the season starts a week earlier. I don't want it to start any earlier, but I don't want it to start any later either. I'm glad that they kicked it up 1 week because I think this is the right time to start it. Tomorrow, Erica Dombach, head coach of the national champion Penn State women's soccer team. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, will do an Olympic segment tomorrow that will include many a comment on Olympic officiating with Cale Sanderson. Monday, Jack Ham joins us on the show. Frank Bodani, York Daily Record Monday. Jason Rollison talking Major League Baseball as well on Monday.
Joe Susan back on Tuesday.
Joe Susan Tuesday. Otto Bolton coming up on Wednesday.
Other than that.
Just listen for Jack's tone. If he sounds disgusted, that means we lost.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.